Hey, it's your boy JC, and welcome to the Dream 10X podcast.
I'm Dr. Capel.
And this is episode 84. And in this episode, I did not finish my book as expected this weekend, so thankfully,
Dr. But I did!
That's so rude.
We're going to be discussing the subtle art of giving a f- so that we can Language. Still put this on YouTube. And this book is by Mark Manson. And obviously the title drew me in because I am a sailor, so people talk like me. And
people talk like you?
Yes.
Nobody talks like you.
Okay, sure. Except other sailors. So this book was really interesting, and so we have five key takeaways. And the principles of the takeaways all kind of work together to come with like a holistic approach that focuses on what like truly matters versus like superficialness, and like how to find happiness really through what truly matters. So the five key takeaways, be selective with your attention and energy, question your values, take full responsibility for your life, embrace problems and failures, and accept limitations. All right, so starting with number one.
So is this just how to be happier in life in general?
Pretty much, yeah, challenging your assumptions and figuring out what's most meaningful to you.
Okay.
And that's it. Podcast done.
200 pages of saying that. Yeah, that's about right.
So be selective with your time and energy and your attention. So not everything deserves your care. And focus on what truly matters and let go of the rest, because or else you're just going to be spinning your wheels on stuff. So we have limited time and energy and limited resources. So being able to consciously choose those things is so important, especially learning to say no. I find a lot of people, like especially at work, will say, yes, okay, I'll take that and I'll take that and I'll take that and I'll take that. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't get it all done and I'm so overwhelmed. And some of that is they don't want to disappoint other people. And they, you know, feel like if they say no to somebody, mm-hmm. it's going to cause a disappointment. Others have this sense of responsibility where, okay, I have to get this done for XYZ reasons. It's all on me. I can't delegate or I can't give it to somebody else. It's all my things.
I'm the star.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm that way. Look what I can do.
Look what I can do. I can do cartwheels. Yeah. So
get the girls.
You know. So it's being able to like really think through like what's the most important thing and what can I share and collaborate with. Because other people like to collaborate.
Right.
So one interesting story that he has in the book was there was a military soldier and he was very status conscious. He was always concerned about his career progression and he'd go on social media a lot and compare himself to other people and get really disappointed if he wasn't where he thought he should be based on this social construct. And so he, you know, comparing himself to peers, that was his measure of success. And he went on deployment, he was severely wounded, and he came back and realized that those things weren't really important to him anymore. He really wanted to focus on his family and relationships and meaningful work. And so he changed how he operated, changed his perspective, changed his work, and really gained clarity about what mattered most to him. So I thought that was a nice story. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. That's the whole thing? No, that was your first point, right?
That was my first point, yeah. Mm-hmm. So just focusing on what really matters and using your energy for that.
Okay.
Any comments?
Nope.
Okay. The star.
What?
Because you said you were the star. That's funny.
Oh.
Just kidding. Yeah. I cracked myself up. That's all right. Question number two. Question your values. Values determine what you care about and how you measure success. What are your values?
What are your values? One of my values is I want to use my time to the best. What time I have left in my life to the best of my ability.
Excellent. It's a great value. Mm-hmm. Very measurable, very honest. Yeah, I mm-hmm. love it. Mine are creativity.
Well, that's not very measurable, but it's kind of loosey-goosey, but okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's totally fine. Yeah. What's meaningful to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So me, it's creativity, collaboration, and competence.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that I do is, even when I like go out and hike by myself, like cutting trails and stuff. I'm collaborating with nature from that perspective. Creativity. It's true. Like you, Piper and I do agility. It's collaborative. And then creativity, like the way that you do things and do things differently. Yeah. And the competence, some measure of competence, some measure of success. Doesn't have to be great. Doesn't have to be perfect. I'm all about failure. But like some measure of, you know, accountability within that. So that's...
Where did you come up with that?
I teach leadership. So I've known my values.
I know, but I mean, you created that for yourself and it's very...
I did.
It's very cool.
But I teach a lot of stuff like this in leadership, and values are the foundational thing. We always make sure people know what they are. So I've known my values for a very long time, and they've changed a little bit, or I've identified them differently. They've always been this reflecting, but I've identified them in different ways.
Okay. I'm just curious. Did somebody influence you, or, you know, you didn't pull them out of thin air just because you teach them, right? Like it came to you somehow.
You mean how did I
create
these as values?
Yeah.
That I need to explore a little bit more because I'm not sure.
So, okay, you pulled them out of there. All right.
Yeah. Well, it was like there's an exercise that we do. Actually, it's in Dream 10X, episode 26, March 16th, Personal Voyages into Leadership.
Oh, I wonder why you're listening to that.
Yeah. And we actually go through a values exercise where you can like really reflect and explore what your values are. And so for me, reflecting and exploring what my values were, but how I came to be for those values, that's a different challenge. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. Yeah. And that's actually one of the things. Are your values self-chosen or did you inherit them from others? Did other people influence you? I don't know. That's a good question.
Simba really wants to be in
there. Bring him in the picture. Simba, what are your values?
Hi,
eating
guys.
And happy full bellies. That's my values. And torturing the dog. Your values may change as you get older and have new insights. Like some people are very religious when they're young and have insight and then choose a different pathway where, you know, maybe those things aren't so valuable anymore. Some people, again, like the military guy, like it was all about the one thing, all about success and perception of others, and now it's about family. So one story that he has in the book that I thought was really interesting is that there was a guy who really dreamed of becoming rich through entrepreneurship. So he was always looking, he was young, and he was always looking for that next get rich quick thing. You know, we see those on YouTube all the time. Follow me and you'll make $1 million. So he would always jump into those. So he spent a lot of years pursuing all these business ideas. And then he had a lot of failure, a lot of frustration, and he like went bankrupt. And then he realized he valued wealth because he thought it would bring him respect and security. I'm like, that's interesting.
Well, security for sure.
Yeah. And respect. Yeah. But that was his, like when he did some reflecting, that's when he realized that that's why he wanted wealth. So he shifted his focus to pursue meaningful work and have some stability. So he ended up working for a company and building a skill set that was valuable to others. And I'm highly caffeinated. And then he focused. So he started, eventually he worked for somebody else for a while, then started his own company in consulting, doing digital marketing, which he loved. And then he eventually found that success that he was looking for when he changed his value system of respect and security and recognizing what he really wanted. So I thought that was kind of a nice story where, you know, where failure can help you achieve and reframe your values. Hmm. So measuring success in a different way. Number three, taking full responsibility from your life. Okay, this is I love because it's really neuroscience-based. When you can't control everything that happens, you can control how you respond. So you can't change other people's behavior, but you can control how you respond to that behavior. And at work, we use this a lot. and it's recognizing your own thought patterns, really reflecting, recognizing how you respond to things. So, two musicians, both alike in dignity. In fair rock and roll, we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny. Where choices make success unclean. From forth the path of these two foes, a set of values changed their life. Okay, so that's the...
What? Is that some Monty Python thing again?
No! Shakespeare!
Shakespeare!
It's the start of Romeo and Juliet, but I transitioned it to start the story that I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay. Read it again real quick without all the drama so I can listen to it.
Two musicians, both alike in dignity.
Is this Shakespeare's, one of Shakespeare's
It
things?
Was the start of the Shakespeare from Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, okay.
And
okay.
I transformed it. I changed the words a little bit to be, to start the story that I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So it's like the start of the story.
Okay, read it again.
Do you want me to actually tell the story? Or do you want me to read the
Because I didn't get it. I was all engrossed in your dramatic presentation.
Two musicians, both alike in dignity, in fair rock and roll where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where choices make success unclean. From forth the paths of these two foes, a set of values changes their life.
I still don't understand Shakespeare, but okay, tell your story.
So, do you know who Dave Mustaine is?
No.
Do you know who Metallica is?
Yeah.
Excellent! So, Dave Mustaine was actually the lead guitar, lead guitarist of Metallica.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
Is he?
Well, was he?
Was he?
Until 1983, because they kicked him out before their first album.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, Mustaine was like... you guys. And he started the band Megadeth. You know Megadeth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so he wanted to start Megadeth and this new band so that he could beat Metallica in record sales. That was his entire life's goal and the only reason. And he was very, like, if they look, you look at, like, rock and roll music and the evolution of it, he was really well-renowned as a guitarist and a writer and everything else. Had a huge global fan base, and he sold over 25 million albums worldwide. And Megadeth became a very influential band. That sounds successful to me, right? Yeah, it sounds successful to you. Like, that's huge, right? 25.
Well, he had a different metric.
Yeah, exactly. He had a different metric. He still considers himself a huge failure because Metallica sold over 180 million albums.
Mm.
So he's like, even though he has all this amazing success, that the average person would be like, holy cow, this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm such a failure. I'm a waste of life. What have I done? Like, how incredible is that?
So reframe your mental model on what success is.
Exactly. And so there's a...
But is that also the same as saying, lower your standards for what you deem success? Lower your standards for your goals?
No.
So you can be successful?
No.
Kind of, that's what it sounds like.
Well, it's reframing in a way that's... It's reframing in a way that is going to help you achieve versus always feeling like failure.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Like, because shooting for high goals can be extremely frustrating and devastating when you don't get to them. So this book is all about, fuck it.
But it's not.
Be happy.
But no, it's not saying be happy, and we're going to get to that.
Okay.
It's like, what is happiness? That's a whole other thing. So like Pete Best, do you know who Pete Best is?
No.
So Pete Best was the...
Stop asking me. I don't know anything.
I don't know. Pete Best was the original drummer of the Beatles.
Okay.
Like the Beatles. You know the Beatles.
I know the Beatles. Yeah.
So he played with the band...
Ringo.
He played... Interesting.
Paul McCartney.
He played with the band for 2 years, and he helped establish like their sound and their beat and their music, and they were just about to get signed. But Pete Best was like a pretty boy. And so John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and George Harrison said, you know what, we think we want to switch out somebody who's less pretty. And because the drummer was getting all the attention. Like, that's
funny. I have that problem all the time.
I know
dude.
You do. You're very pretty. So they kicked him out, and they didn't even tell him why until, like, years later. And so Pete Best was obviously devastated. Ringo Starr took his place, who was less pretty. Mm. And so Pete... Pete Best was devastated, and he loved music and loved playing, and this band he loved being with, you know, didn't want him anymore. Beatlemania erupted, they had huge fame and success, and nobody knows who Pete Best is. So he had some hard years, of course, and...
Best?
Pete Best, yeah. Okay. He had some hard years, and
he... After he got kicked out.
Yeah, of course. And he still loved music, and he decided to... He found a career that he really liked. He still played music and started bands, and they played. Obviously, never achieved the Beatles fame, but still had that value system where he's like, I love music. I love music, how it makes me feel and emotional. And he did sell records and have success, just different success. Andy had a family, which he, like, totally, again, changed his value system, where, like, the family was the most important thing. I thought that was really interesting. So choosing your path, and sometimes failures can lead to unexpected successes. So, like, had he been with the Beatlemania, he probably never would have found his wife and had this family that he loved, and maybe had his passion in his music re-engaged. Because I imagine when music is your work and your life, like, how do you stay engaged in it all the time versus it's for fun and I love it. I can do it because I want to, not because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Comments on that?
No.
Okay. Okay, this is my favorite one. Choose your heart. Have you heard that phrase before?
Yeah, definitely.
What does that mean to you?
In the book that we reviewed, The Hard Thing About Hard Things, I think we talked about that a little bit, but yeah, everything about life is hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, being poor is hard, being rich is hard. So which hard do you want?
Yeah.
Which hard path do you want to choose?
Exactly. So that's the same message in here too. Life is an endless series of problems, and happiness comes from solving them, not avoiding them. So choose the quality of your life depends on the quality of the problems you're willing to face. So do you want to be healthy or not? Like, because working out every morning, getting up at 4 a.m. to go row every morning is really hard, but so is, you know, having heart issues and getting fat.
So, yeah.
So, like, which... So choosing your heart is like a powerful perspective on mental shifts and mental models. And again, connecting back to your values and who you want to be, who's that person that you want to be. So I really, that's one of my favorite things. And lastly, accept limitations. So recognize your limitations helps you prioritize what truly matters and live life more meaningfully. So accepting you can't be great at everything, which is so hard, liberates you to focus on what you really care about. And they're not limitations aren't obstacles, but give you meaning. They also I love this. True freedom comes from embracing constraints rather than fighting against them. So I'll talk about me for a minute. So I'm a blacksmith and I'm a rower. And I'm a Highland Games athlete, and all of them require this arm. as well as, you know, typing, mousing, and everything else. Mousing, you know. And so I had to get elbow tendon surgery about a month ago, which limited my use of this arm for the next 4 months. So everything that I love to do was just taken away in a moment. And so I had to, and knowing the surgery was coming, I had to plan for those limitations and really go back to my values and figure out what I wanted and who I wanted to be for these next 4 months when I can't be who I wanted to be. So I adapted. I'm going to learn how to throw left-handed. I take a break from blacksmithing and I'll start that up again as soon as I'm able. And for rowing, you know, took a pivot. I'm going to coach this summer and I'm going to cox until I can. And I just got this really cool adaptive rowing thing so I can still erg and still get my cardio up and still participate. It's pretty cool, huh? I thought it was cool. Understanding my limitations and then figuring out what was most meaningful so that I could continue on and not make my husband insanely crazy over the next 4 months.
Crazier.
But that gave me the freedom to say, to embrace, and move forward. So that was really it. So that was my 5 key takeaways from this book. It was very interesting and...
Awesome. So the big question I have in my mind about all this is, you have a big dream, you have a big goal, and you're having a really hard time reaching it. It feels like you're never going to get there. So in order to be happy, I just say, screw it.
No.
Let me reframe what success is and set my bar a lot lower, then I'll be happy about the whole thing.
No, I would say, choose smaller goals within that. Choose smaller, attainable goals within that. Keep reaching towards your big goal, but what's a smaller goal within that?
Okay. I'm trying to fit that in with the 5 takeaways.
So going back to your values. So, okay, what's an example? Highland Games. Oh, actually, no, blacksmithing for me. So I was in blacksmithing school trying to make this god-awful piece. And it was an inch and a half thick metal. And you had to make like a frame and then two different swirls within it. And everything was very measured and very particular. And you had to do a leaf within that too that also is very particularly measured. And... So Let's just say it was a big failure, but I did get it done to spec. There was a lot of welding involved. So changing my mental model of, I didn't redo the whole thing and make it absolutely perfect. It was not a perfect piece at all, but it was good enough. And I got the piece done. I got a leaf done, and the leaf was really good, and I was excited about that. And then, of course, I had to weld the leaf on instead of making it one giant piece, because it was supposed to be one giant piece together. So that success of that small leaf was really cool. And that success of the swirl that I did was accurate, was really cool. So the small pieces within the larger construct helped me keep going and reframe what my measure of success was.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, just to reframe and summarize that, it's okay to set big goals, okay to go after big dreams, but celebrate what success you have.
Exactly.
And don't give a blip about the higher stuff that you're not able to achieve.
Yes. And keep moving forward towards your goals. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like it.
Good.
Because there's been a lot of dreams I haven't achieved.
Yeah.
And I've been very frustrated.
And so
But I have achieved a lot along the way.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but why is it important is it all about your happiness and not achievement?
It's all about happiness and not achievement.
So why would I just not give a flip about not achieving something that I wanted to achieve in order to be happy? Like, isn't that achievement more important than your happiness?
Well, it depends on your measure of success. If you want to be sad and miserable, then sure. If you're like, okay, I'm...
Well, nobody does, I'm sure, but...
Yeah. Maybe they do. Some people maybe like sad. The victim mentality. Yeah, like blaming everybody. People who love being victims. Like, it's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. Some people thrive in that.
Yeah.
Or reframing, like, what was good about today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Positive mental attitude is important.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're very positive all the time, so thank you.
You're welcome.
So, are we done?
Yes, we're done.
Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it. That's episode 84 of our podcast, The Subtle Art of Not Giving Some F Word. I don't know what that is. Thanks for watching. We will see you next book. Over and out.